This is Sherry Edwards for VBS Radio. The name of the show is Sound Health Alternatives, and we are delighted that you could join us for a bit of conversation designed to provide information and options for self-health. The music you just heard was from Steve Halperin's CD, Music for Healing. The cut was number 2, Awakening. And that's what we're going to try to do today, awaken the public. And I think a lot of the public are awakened, but we need to bring more people on board, and we need answers to what we can do about the situation that's causing our health system and our government and big pharma to try to drive us into a corner and not allow us any options or dominions over our own health. Today's guest is Alan Stang. He's been a journalist, an investigator, a magazine editor, a ghostwriter, a lecturer, an author, a nationally syndicated news commentator, a foreign correspondent for the Voice of America, and a radio talk show for nearly half a century. He started out in communications. I'm reading from his bio. He started out in communications as an editor for Prentice Hall. His first job in radio was for NBC in New York, where he wrote the Tex and Jinx radio show. He has won the usual awards for journalistic excellence from the American Academy of Public Affairs. He's on the board, or was on the board, served a term for the National Health Federation, which battles for your unalienable rights to get the kind of medical treatment that you want. He's written books, interesting books. It's Very Simple, The True Story of Civil Rights is one. Tax Scams, How the IRS Swindles You and What You Can Do About It. Silent Clots, Life's Biggest Killer. An Offshore Asset Protection Workbook. He's written fiction. The Highest Virtue, The Outcast, Name of the King, Perestroika Sunset, Love Strikes the Gut Shot, and one just named He. This sounds like a man who could give us some answers. Alan Stang, welcome to the program.
Shari, thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you for sending me a copy of your book. I was intrigued from the preference. Well, I was intrigued by the title. But the stories in this book are just atrocious, and people need to know about this. First, where did you get this very intriguing title that I would think you're going to get in trouble about, Electronic Medicine Cure for Cancer?
Well, now, let me first point out, Sherry, right at the get-go here, there is a very important symbol at the end of the title, a question mark.
Question mark.
So
okay.
I'm not making a declarative statement in the title. I'm asking a question. And the way I set the book up, as you have already seen, is I set it up as a quasi-mystery in which I present the reader with a series of facts, a body of evidence, and then ask the reader to decide what he or she thinks all of this adds up to. So I always, when I say the title, try to raise my voice, Electronic Medicine Cure for Cancer, to convey that fact that I'm not making a declaration, I'm asking a question. Now, where did I get the title? Well, the title just sprang out at me from the material, and that's the way I get all my titles, Shari. Once in a while, I start out from the beginning, I have a title. But much of the time, I don't have one, and I just let it sit. I know that sooner or later, as I'm working, as I'm writing, the title will pop out at me, and that was the case here.
In your intro, you talk about some of the reasons for writing this book. And one of them is about a doctor that you've worked with and about B17. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that story and what pushed you to write this book?
Well, you're talking about my dear, dear friend over the many, many years, James R. Privateer, M.D., who is one of the nation's foremost allergists and nutritionists. He practices in Covina, California. He is, because of his experiences, his adventures, he is a world-famous physician. People come to him from around the world. And you're talking about a situation in which a patient asked him where she could buy Laetril. He didn't sell it himself. He had no financial interest in selling Laetril. She just asked where she could get it, and he told her. And for that, for doing that, he was arrested, tried, convicted, thrown into prison. I visited him there and wrote a magazine piece, the first one I did about him, about the incident. Now, later on, of course, the governor of California, in response to an overwhelming public demand, issued him a pardon, a full and complete pardon, so which presumably expunges all of this from the legal record. But that's what you're talking about. That is one example, Shari, of what I call a medical dictatorship that we labor under in this country, especially in California. You have this situation throughout the country, but it's worse than anywhere else, as far as I know, in the state of California, which is a literal medical dictatorship.
Who is the dictator? Is it the law? Is it the FDA? Is it the American Medical Association?
It's what I call the medical monopoly, which includes all of those things, Shari. The medical monopoly is a complex made up of the medical schools, the physicians, some of the physicians, the law, the government, and preeminently what you refer to in your introduction to the program as Big Pharma, the monster pharmaceutical companies, which in practical effect control them all. All of these different things make up monopoly medicine, my term for it, which completely controls the industry, the medical industry in our country today.
Are these administrative laws, or do these people have to go to trial?
Sometimes they actually will go to trial, like Dr. Privatera would be an example. Most of the time, they are they get their way through regulations. And the way that works routinely in government, not just in medicine, is a legislative body will pass a law. The governor, the president, whoever it is, the mayor will sign it. And then the administrative agencies begin issuing regulations under the law. And those regulations will have the force of law, even though the specific regulations may not have been passed into law. They are administered under the authority of a law, and so they have the full force of that law. So, yes, it could be happening in a court, or it could happen in the application of the monopoly could be administered just as well by administration. And in fact, there is a federal law in Title V of the U.S. Code, the Administrative Procedures Act, which is a huge title that governs all of these administrative procedures we're talking about.
Well, can people, if they're found guilty there, can they then ask for a trial or a hearing where they at least have some representation?
Well, yes. There is provision for appeal under the Administrative Procedures Act, and probably all of these regulations have an appeal procedure, but remember, you are appealing within the agency that has nailed you in the first place. So you're not appealing to an independent observer who doesn't have any allegiance to either side, as you are supposed to be in a court. That of course would be the main advantage of being of getting a real judicial procedure that presumably, at least on paper, the judge is not supposed to be an ally of either side. But you don't get that when you appeal administratively. You are appealing to a board, a commission set up within the agency that nailed you in the first place.
We had an attorney on. Well, we've had him on a couple of times. His name's Ralph Fusatola, and he talks about if one of these agencies comes to your door, make sure they have the right papers. You're not obligated to give them anything. You're not obligated even to allow them in your home, because one of the situations here in Ohio, two people from one of the boards went to a practitioner's home, and while one was engaging the practitioner in conversation, the other one rifled through her records, stole one of her records, and then went to the person whose record that was and tried to persuade them to sue this woman.
Well, this is standard procedure, Shari, and it gets a lot worse than that. Your attorney is, of course, completely correct as far as the law goes, but what happens typically in practical effect, in practical application, the practitioner, whoever he or she is, health foods, from a health food store to a chiropractor or whatever, is sitting in his or her office, suddenly the door smashes in. You've got armed gunmen dressed in black breaking in, hurling you to the floor, threatening you, smashing, seizing equipment, destroying property. It's kind of difficult in such a situation to pop up and say, well, now, wait a minute, you're giving me the due process that the Constitution says I deserve. You are totally intimidated. You're outnumbered, you're outgunned. And their attitude, Shari, so many times their attitude is, yeah, lady, you may be right. Go ahead and sue me. They have an endless supply of lawyers. They have an endless supply of money, of time. You don't. So that's their attitude. Yeah, well, go ahead. Yeah, you may be right. Go ahead and sue us.
Sounds like the Jonathan Wright case that you're talking about. Where
like a what?
It sounds like the Jonathan Wright case in Washington State, where they broke in and held his secretaries on the floor with guns to their
exactly.
heads.
Exactly. They went. They were not armed at the time. They went to the Kent, Washington police. They told the Kent Police Department, "We're going to raid some drug pushers." Naturally, the Kent police were all excited. Yes, we want to raid drug pushers. When they arrived at the clinic, the police were dumbfounded to discover they were not raiding drug pushers. They smashed in, and they find the usual bunch of ladies in a, that you find in a doctor's office, secretaries keeping records and billing, patients. Spurious excuse they used was they had found a bottle of contaminated medicine in the garbage. Well, yes, they did. The reason it was in the garbage was the clinic threw it there because it was contaminated. This was the reason for the raid. They keep these people there for hours at gunpoint, and if I remember correctly, they wouldn't let the women use the ladies' room. Now, you'd have to go a long way, I think, before you'd find somebody crazy enough to keep women out of the ladies' room. But apparently, these people were that crazy.
There's a film that was done about that, Let Truth Be the Bias. It's about 10 years ago, but it's a wonderful film from some of the news coverage and what they've done about this. Do they have to give you any kind of warning? Can they just bust in the doors?
Apparently, they don't, because that is what they do, Shari. Apparently, the first word you get that something is wrong is when you hear your door being smashed in. So I guess since that's what they do, they don't need to give you a warning. And again, the whole attitude here is they don't care whether they're doing wrong. Their attitude is, if you have a complaint, you have an alternative, go ahead and sue us.
Was this the FDA that did this?
FDA. You're talking about the Jonathan Wright.
Right.
The Tahoma Clinic, Kent, Washington. Yes, that was FDA. Afterward, the police said, never call us again. We will never accompany you anywhere. You know, the police were quite embarrassed to be holding. They thought they were going to be breaking in on a meeting of drug narcotic smugglers instead of women in a doctor's office keeping records. So the police were quite embarrassed. They said, don't ever call us again.
Are you familiar with Tim Boland's work?
Yes.
I would think that we need to tell people that they can, if this happens to them, that they could get in touch with Tim Boland. It's B-O-L-E-N, just T-I-M, Boland. And he has the Boland Report. And he has incredible expertise in fighting these administrative rules and laws and
yes.
some of the silliness. So
he does great work.
He finds himself in that position.
Does great work. I'm familiar with his report. I read it all the time. The important thing to understand, friends, is that if you lie down and roll over, which is what they want you to do, then they will roll over you.
More than once.
You will wind up with tire treads on your face.
Yeah.
It's the people who stand up that they will back off from. And a perfect example would be Dr. Privatera. They thought they would use Dr. Privatera as a patsy to scare other doctors, especially in the area, that this is what they do. You know, they will attack a doctor. The doctor does lie down, roll over, and this sends a message to all the other people. This is what will happen to you. Well, what they didn't know is that Dr. Privatera is not only one of the nation's leading allergists and nutritionists. He is a born warrior. He lives for these battles. He loves these battles. And he will come back at them stronger than they attacked him in court and will win. And now they've learned that maybe they better back off and look around and see whether they can find somebody a little more compliant than Dr. Privatera.
Well, anybody who wants more information, it's the Bolin Report. It's free, and I guess we can both recommend it. People who want more information about that. I have one more comment, then we're going to talk about your book some more and what's
yes.
in it and how people can get it. If people end up on a jury about this, we need people to know about jury nullification. That if they're sitting on the jury and here's a law that says this person didn't comply and they're absolutely guilty, that juror can stand up and say, I don't believe the law is correct in this instance.
You know, Sherry, what I would suggest is you really, if you want to get into this, we really need to do a separate show on it.
You know about jury nullification?
Yes, I do. I've written about it. I've written, well, in Tax Scam, one of my books that you mentioned, I've written about it at length. I've written magazine articles about it. Yes.
I didn't get through all the way through your book. Is it in this new one?
No, it's not in the new one. It's in the book entitled Tax Scam. You mentioned it when you were introducing me.
Okay.
If you want to do a whole show on jury nullification, I'd be happy to do it.
Absolutely. We need to do that, and we'll schedule you for it. There are hundreds of incidents. Well, I don't know if hundreds. Lots and lots of incidents of this in your book. How can people get your book?
It's very simple. You simply go to my website, which is stangbooks.com, stangbooks.com, S-T-A-N-G, books.com. Click on the left side, you'll see a column of links. You just click on Buy a Stang Book. Scroll down to the cover of the book. It's Electronic Medicine Cure for Cancer. You're in the shopping cart then, and you simply order it. Now, should we talk about what the book is about, Sherry?
Yes, we're going to talk about lots of it. I want you to talk to me a second, though, or two, about the sting of Stang. Because that's how I ended up on your website.
Well, The Sting of Stang is the name of the talk show that I do myself from time to time. You know, I'm an old radio man, Sherry. As you said, I started out in radio at NBC in New York many years ago. And since then, I keep doing radio gigs. I'll do a show for a year or so. And right now, I'm not doing a show. I guest on shows like yours. But when I'm on the air, I call my show The Sting of Stang, and my theme song is the Rocky theme from the Rocky movies, you'll remember, with Sylvester Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theme song, and that's my slogan. So that's what The Sting of Stang is all about.
So people can listen to you or just find out about more of that on your website?
Well, yes. On the website, there's a wealth of material. You have my articles.
A lot of articles, great.
Magazine articles, yes. The new ones are on the front page. Then you can go into the archives and read the rest of them. There are announcements there about other things that are happening that I think you need to know about. Important links to various events and situations and videos and so on. And then again, you can go on the left side of the web to of the website to buy a Stang book, and that takes you into the shopping cart, and you can take a look at some of my books are there that are available.
If people want to download this, is that available?
To download what?
Download your book, an e-book.
You know, we haven't gotten into that, Shari. We haven't been selling it as an e-book. I guess we could. I think it's something probably we need to look at, don't you? Yeah, I think so.
Well, some of the things we're going to talk about, people are going to want this immediately.
Well, they can get it immediately simply by ordering the book. An e-book is something, you put an idea in my head. It really hadn't occurred to me. I think it's something we need to look at, though.
I want to jump to page 82 in your book. What goes on inside FDA? David Graham, MD, can we talk about this?
Sure.
Has been with the FDA for more than 20 years. Well, I didn't know what you want out in the ethers here, because I don't know if
people
are going to come after you. There's some pretty tough statements in here.
There are. What I would like to discuss, Shari, is the basic reason for writing the book, Electronic Medicine.
Well, and I thought if I read this David Graham thing, it'd make people mad enough that they'd want to listen with both ears here.
Sure. Go ahead.
As I write, and this is you saying this, he's Associate Director of Science and Medicine in the Office of Drug Safety. He's the FDA's chief epidemiologist. In an interview, Dr. Graham said this. This is a quote. Prior to my Senate testimony in mid-November of 2004, there was an orchestrated campaign by senior-level FDA managers to intimidate me so that I would not testify before Congress. This intimidation took several forms. One attack came from the acting central director who contacted the editor of The Lancet, the prestigious medical journal, in the United Kingdom, and intimated to the editor that I'd committed scientific misconduct and that they would publish a paper. They shouldn't publish a paper that I had written showing that Vioxx increases the risk of heart attack. This high-level FDA official never talked to me about this allegation. He went directly to Lancet. That kind of crap got to cease. Is this why you wrote this book?
Well, I wrote the book for that reason, yes, because I've long been a champion of medical freedom. You know, it's absolutely amazing in our country that you've got all of these people yelling about freedom for this, freedom for that, privacy, but we do not have the right in our country to choose the medical freedom and the medical treatment that we want. You are told if you have a certain disorder, this is the treatment that's authorized, and that's the only thing you can get. It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter what your doctor wants. And what you have here is a situation in which this regulatory authority, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, is a totalitarian organization in our midst. Here you have Dr. Graham, who is a top FDA official, was a top FDA official, and you see what happened to him. They literally are threatening him.
Sabotaging him.
Yeah, exactly. And they get away with it. This is the unbelievable aspect about this. They get away with it. So, yes, that certainly would be one of the things that I'm writing about. The other thing that motivated me, of course, was to tell the story of electronic medicine, which I like to call also 21st century homeopathy. Homeopathy, of course, is based on the principle of like cures like, first enunciated by Hippocrates 2,500 years ago. Of course, idea fell into disrepair somewhat when a few centuries later Galen, the Roman physician, his ideas became paramount, and he believed just the opposite. But then the idea of like cures like was resuscitated in the 16th century by Paracelsus, and it was finally systematized by Dr. Hahnemann in Germany into what we today know as homeopathy, as he called it. Now, what does he mean by like cures like? The symptoms, said Dr. Hahnemann, the symptoms are not the disease. The symptoms of a particular disorder are the body's attempt to heal itself. And therefore, just as Hippocrates taught. The symptoms should systematically be encouraged, because by doing that, you are aiding the healing process. Now, what Dr. Hahnemann would do in a laborious process he called approving was he would find a medicine that produced the same symptoms as the disorder. The first one that he experimented with came from the cinchona bark, which, of course, we today know as quinine for the treatment of malaria. He took the cinchona bark and discovered it produced the same symptoms as malaria, applied it for that purpose. Lo and behold, it worked. Again, like cures like. Now, what Dr. Hahnemann was doing, although he couldn't know it himself, because he didn't have access to electronics in the year 1810, was he was finding a remedy that had the same frequency, the same electronic frequency as the disorder that he was treating. Because the principle is that when that frequency meets the disorder, the critter causing the problem, whatever it is, a microbe, a bacteria, a mold, a virus, will be destroyed in exactly the same way that the opera singer's high note will shatter the crystal. Now, we've all seen that happen and marveled at it. Why does that happen? It happens because her note is emitted on a certain frequency. Of course, you know all about that, Sherry, in the work that you do in your bioacoustics. Her note is on a certain frequency, and the crystal is on the same frequency. When they meet, when those identical frequencies meet, the crystal shatters in the same way, exactly the same way. The critter that is causing your problem will be shattered when it is confronted with something that has the same frequency in it. So what I'm writing about in electronic medicine, Sherry, is I'm writing about technology, 21st century technology that is now presently actually available, that produces frequencies in a very scientific fashion that allows you to reintroduce the same frequencies that you started out with into your system and thereby attack the critters that are causing the problem. Now, to give you one example of what I'm talking about, Sherry, just this last weekend, we were at a show in Chicago, a health show. We had a booth, of course. A lady stepped up to the booth. She was a registered nurse. She's wearing a doctor's coat. And she asked whether she could use the Guardian, which is the biggest item that Ego Research in South Carolina uses, manufactures. We said, sure, go ahead. She used the Guardian one time and began working her hand, manipulating the fingers. And we asked what she was doing. She said, I have not been able to use this hand for a month. I've been going to the chiropractor, and he hasn't been able to do any good. But now, she says, I feel I've got the complete use of my hand back. And she's working her fingers. Now, let me very quickly say that most of the time, you don't get a result that dramatic. certainly is an unusually dramatic result. Most of the time, it works a lot more slowly than that. But that would give you an example of the kind of thing that electronic medicine can accomplish.
Well, I've seen the same kind of thing here. What kind of waveform do you guys use?
This is such an interesting question. You know, most healing is accomplished with a square block type wave.
Yeah, that's great for bugs, though.
But they have a way. With a square block, you miss a lot. The wave that Ego Research produces is a wave that has a very high spike at the top. It comes down then to the right in a sweeping curve and makes a very big spike on the bottom. So it's a very unusually shaped wave.
Almost like a heartbeat that you would see on
not a heartbeat. If
like
you could
a
imagine
cardiogram kind of thing?
Going straight up, a spike going straight up, and then coming down to the right in a curve out to the right and straight down now to a bottom spike. But on top of that, what the frequency generator does is it has three ways to make sure that it's able to eliminate the critters we're talking about. One is the shape of the wave. Another is the fact that it only runs 50% of the time. The wave, the signal, only runs 50% of the time, so the critters never know when to stick their heads out. And when it is running, it is interrupted 10 times a second. Now, with all of that confusion, deliberately created confusion, the critters don't know which end is up, and eventually they are going to get zapped.
So you think the lady that had something in her hand that she couldn't move, that that was some kind of virus or bacteria or, that you were killing?
Well, we have no way of knowing that, of course. No, the only thing that we know, that we, the only thing we have to go on is what she tells us.
Results. Can't argue with that.
You can't argue with results. Now, it could be what you said, Sherry. It could be any one of the things you said, but we don't know. We have no way of knowing that. The only thing we can rely on is that is what she tells us.
Would you like to have a way of knowing what really happened?
Well, the more we can learn about this, of course, the better, yes.
Well, because we were right around the corner from you with the vocal profiling booth, and we had several of your people come around and talk to us.
Oh, you mean you were at the Chicago show?
Yeah, right around the corner from you guys.
Oh, for Pete's sake, isn't that interesting?
And what we wanted to do was to take a vocal print, send them over to you, and then take another vocal print and look at the voice and see what the machine had actually done to it. And a couple of our people did that. We haven't looked at the data yet, but you can tell when you've given them the right frequency because the voice will go into coherence. And we can tell whether this was with her finger or thumb, what issue it was. With the thumb, it's usually a zinc issue. With some of the fingers, it's high ammonia. So you may be doing much more. With these critters, a lot of them put out ammonia.
Well, she didn't say.
You may be zapping the ammonia away in some way. So we should partner and do some research.
Well, that sounds thrilling, Sherry. I was totally unaware. Well, I don't have to tell you in the business with booths yourself. When you're in one of these booths, you usually have no time to look around your shoulder. We were so occupied. There were just two of us there. We didn't have any assistants, so we were really up against it most of the time. I wish I had known you were there and had gotten to meet you.
Well, there's a lot of people in front of your booth, and we were smothered. People are so hungry for this.
They are hungry. Well, you know, as I point out in the book, Sherry, most people are not aware of this. More people these days go to so-called alternative healers than they go to so-called orthodox healers. This is according to the Journal of the American Medical Association, because, as you say quite rightly, Sherry, people are fed up. They know something's wrong. They want something that works. I mean, after all, as I point out in the book, it's such an obvious truism. If you went to the Orthodox healer and you were healed, would you go anywhere else? You would go home, wouldn't you? Well,
yeah.
So the reason that people are going elsewhere is they are sent home and they're not healed.
And
so
the
obviously,
reason the medical community is coming after them is they're taking their money with them.
Exactly. So this is why I characterize what we're talking about here as a war, as a literal war. Oh, by the way, Sherry, if your listeners want to know more about the technology that we're talking about, it's very simple. Just call this toll-free number. The toll-free number is 866-289-6992. Again, that's 866-289-6992. Tell the folks there at Eagle Research that you heard me, Alan Stang, on the Sherry Edwards program and that you want to know more about the technology we're discussing.
That's great. I want to ask if you've ever heard of the allopathic, homeopathic controversy about left and right brainedness.
I've heard of the controversy, yes, but I don't know anything about it.
Okay, and looking at people's vocal prints and giving them back a frequency, much like you guys are doing, we found out we must determine if they are a left or a right brain responder. If you don't have any, let's say the note of A, and you might equate that to low immune system, if you don't have any and we give you some, like you're giving somebody frequencies, and they respond, they're an allopathic responder. But if you give it to them and they don't respond, you need to consider looking at the exact opposite frequency. And you can do that by translating it into color, like red and green are opposites, blue and orange are opposites. And there's a mathematical formula, which we can talk about off the air. But the homeopathic responders, if they have a high immune response, you may need to give them something they're already high in and can't use. So that's one of the reasons we're seeing, when we test machines, it's one of the reasons we're seeing they're not getting like 80 and 90% efficacy, because they don't consider that one fact. Color, people who work with color and sound together should consider that too. So we really need to talk to your people more, and I will use this number to do it. One of the things I noticed at what they were talking about at the expo, it was about the machines and the alternatives and the people that were there, but also people there that were frauds and giving the rest of us a bad name. And I'm not talking just about this expo. I'm talking about in the whole genre of alternative medicine.
Yes, this is a continuing problem, Sherry, and I honestly don't know what to do about it. But, of course, if you back up and look at things in general, remember, in every profession you have frauds.
Absolutely. So yeah, there was a guy there at the expo that was wearing a necklace and coming around talking to booths. I don't know if he ever got to you guys. But it was a cross-looking symbol, and he was claiming that it would heal AIDS. And I said, where's your data? Well, God told me. You can't go out there and do that and expect not to get questioned about what's going on. So not only do we have this hit from above, FDA and those kinds of things going on, but we've got these people at the bottom that we somehow need to monitor as a group so they don't do this.
I would not even be surprised at all to learn, Sherry, that FDA, for example, might be sending these people in to do this.
We had a meeting about that, and we think there were a few people there trying to give the rest of us a bad name.
You know, the technique called the agent provocateur, a French term, the agent of the provocation in English. Agent provocateur is a technique that people in war, countries in war, have used for centuries. You send somebody into the other side to provoke an incident that you can use for your purposes. And that perhaps I can't give you an example of it right now in our business, in the business of these health shows, for example. But that perhaps could be the explanation for these absolute and nutballs who show up at these shows, like the man you're talking about. I don't remember that man, and so I feel that he probably didn't get back to us, to our booth. But I wouldn't be surprised in the least to find out that that's where these people come from.
Well, I like that very official term, nutballs.
Yes.
Is that what you call them?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I call them, yes.
Well, this is going to lead into something else. I want to ask you about your book. A couple weeks ago, we had Larry Trivieri on the show. You familiar with his work?
I am, only because I read your website, and I see that you've got his book on your website.
Well, we are one of the chapters in his website,
yes,
and in his book. And one of the ways we got there is this big silver book, The Definitive Guide to Alternative Medicine, that's in almost every good doctor's office.
Yes.
And it has thousands of good alternative medicine people in there. So people could go looking in this big silver book. I mean, it's almost in every bookstore. And it was edited by Alternative Medicine and Burton Goldberg's staff. But they took the people that they thought was like the cream of the crop of being out ahead and put them in this next book called Health on the Edge, and that's where I met Larry Trivieri. He was on the show, and he said one of the things that he's been investigating and finding out is happening is there is a creation of disease, so Big Pharma can come in and cure it. And you have on page 83 in your book, the FDA is responsible for 140,000 heart attacks and 60,000 dead Americans. That's as many people as were killed in the Vietnam War. The FDA is responsible insofar as it could have prevented much of the damage, heart attacks, and deaths simply by banning the high-dose Vioxx back in mid-2000 when they knew the results of the Vigor study, but the FDA did nothing for almost 2 years. Two questions here. One, putting that statement in, are you now a target? And two, how can we stop this kind of tacit approval so that we are the guinea pigs in the experiments and our price is death and their price is money? I mean, they are selling stuff that they knowingly understand that there's going to be a great risk.
Well, look at what they do, Shari. Every year, it's almost a comedy. If it weren't so grim, it would be somewhat humorous. Every year, we hear about that year's new flu virus. They've discovered that there's a chipmunk they discovered in Thailand that came down with some kind of a disorder. It's spreading to other chipmunks. It could transfer to people. And if we don't act instantly, half the population of the earth will be exterminated. And so we must take the new virus. The government has issued the new vaccine. The government has allocated X billions of dollars for the purpose. And now we are rushing all to be vaccinated. I mean, doesn't this happen almost every year? You hear about one of these new problems coming from the Far East, and we've got to do something about it. Well, you're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry, are you not?
But we are. Bird flu is this year's biggie, but the CDC recently put out a report that said this has been the lightest flu season in years. So who do you believe?
Whom do you believe? And what, remember, not long ago, this weren't the same people telling us that the population of this country is at risk. A huge number of people might be exterminated by this thing.
Well, there's a difference now in that if you don't take the inoculation, you can be arrested for treason because of this Homeland Security stuff that's going on.
Well, they are even talking, Sherry, as you know, they are talking about the possibility of martial law. The president has mentioned the imposition of martial law several times. Our generals have discussed martial law and mentioned it several times. When and if martial law is imposed because of a new incident, a new 9/11 type incident, we are told one of the elements of it could be forced inoculation to prevent certain diseases. So you would be talking about forced inoculation, maybe forced chipping, the new RFID chips under the skin. It sounds like science fiction. I understand that, but this is I didn't make this up. This is what our leaders are telling us.
Well, people better get together now and do something about it and just quit complaining. One of the things that we've done is called a pre-vaccination program. It's called PreVax. And if they're being forced into these vaccinations, we take their vocal print and see what kind of damage this is going to cause. And the number one thing that comes out again and again and again is biflavonoids, particularly quercetin. If they're being forced to do this, they could load up on biflavonoids and quercetin so that when this vaccination comes in, they can at least create an antigen. I mean, if you're going to go to jail or face a vaccination, there ought to be some number or something that people can call and band together.
Yes.
And not allow this kind of thing to happen.
In my experience,
we've been giving it to people. And you give it away and it's not worth anything. But we're doing it because we see this coming and we're working with school systems
Yes. And
other people. We want people to get in touch with us about this. And with your machine, too, they can make homeopathic remedies with it.
Right. That is that you remind me to make a good point, Sherry. We're not just talking at Eagle Research about one machine. I mentioned the Guardian, for example. We're talking about a line of these frequency machines. You just mentioned the remedy maker. Instead of having to rely on Big Pharma to sell you a vaccine that is months old, that was a guess in the first place when they made it, that is now totally out of date and probably contaminated, you actually make your own remedies with the remedy maker. They are specific, they're not contaminated, and they are brand new because you've just made them very economically. Doctors are buying the remedy maker in really a big volume. They love it because it puts the doctor back in control again. He doesn't have to rely on what the detail man from the big pharma company told him. He does it himself, and so the doctor is put back in charge. The doctors love it.
Number one, I believe that there's enough sick people to go around. And in what we're doing with vocal profiling, so we can see the mutations and give people the frequency to provide back, you're kind of doing the same thing. All of us who have something that works need to band together and produce this book of options.
Absolutely.
What's going on?
Absolutely. There are many ways to the same result. What you're doing and what we're doing, it sounds to me, are different aspects of the same thing.
Absolutely. The one thing that we want to do is get this online so people can pick up their computer and their microphone, instantly get their frequency that they need, compare it to what nutrient might help, and go on from there. We just had some people in last week, and it was an experiment on people who had low blood sugar, and about 80% of them couldn't process an amino acid called proline. So if we can get their body to respond to proline, then this blood sugar issue is probably going to go away. And it's not what we're giving them, it's what their body's doing with it that's making a difference. It's almost like a vitamin. And same thing with homeopathy. You're providing the body something that it needed, because here we are with polluted air, polluted electricity, polluted food, polluted water, polluted sex, you know, whatever's going on. Even chemicals come into our sex life now with spermicides and all that. And you can't do anything without Big Pharma being right there by you. And it's crazy that we are the consumers. We are paying, we are electing these officials, but we don't get a say. We need to band together and say, it's time to stop this crap. I'm on my soapbox here. But we've opened this stuff up for vaccinations, and if people didn't buy your book for anything else, this interview that you have with this guy about vaccinations is just enough to curl your hair.
Yes.
Talk to me about nomorefakenews.com.
Apparently they have been creating the autism explosion that we've been experiencing around the country. This is a creation of the Big Pharma people with their fanatic vaccination program.
Well, it's the same thing that Larry Trivieri said. They have to create the disease so they can come and treat it and make lots of money off of it. In Ohio, the school funding is attached to how much percentage of the kids are vaccinated. And there's a law here now, and this is all sponsored. I can't remember which pharmaceutical company, but they can go in and test the children in school and give them drugs without the parents' permission.
It's unbelievable.
It's got to stop. I think Health Freedom, these expos that are running around the country, really are informing people. There's some in Dallas. There's some in Virginia. I may be forgetting some. There's three or four a year. And people are flocking to them to try to find answers.
I think that is what is so encouraging, Sherry, because we are seeing that when people get the facts, when they find out what is happening, when they find out what is being done to them, they will take action. They don't want to be guinea pigs. They don't want to be victimized by these medical totalitarians, and that undoubtedly explains, in at least in part, why, again, why more people go to so-called alternative healers than go to so-called orthodox healers. So it seems to me we are on the right track. What I'm doing, what you're doing, what all of us are doing is arousing the people to take the necessary action. And I give so many positive examples of that. You can turn this behemoth around. One example that just comes to mind, remember, in the olden times, it used to be that the doctor would come to a lady's house and she would have her baby in bed at home. Now they've completely done away with that by perverting the profession of medicine into an industry, which it cannot function as. And they do it now. They have been doing it over the past few years to satisfy the doctor. Well, the women protested and wouldn't stand for it anymore. And now they've made a complete, well, not a complete, but a very substantial change. Even in the hospitals with regard to childbirth, you can go to alternative birth centers if that's what you want. There is more ability for a lady to get what she wants in treatment. Well, that is the result of the protests of women around the country who just were fed up with what they were getting. So, I mean, that would be one example to my mind of the fact that if you protest, if you get informed and take action, you can make these changes.
And the biggest one is you can change it with withholding your money from these people. I did the same thing with our doctor. That they wouldn't allow me to go to the doctor I wanted, so I'm not taking your insurance. So we need to have you back. We need to talk about herbs. We need to talk about Kodaks. We need to talk about half a dozen things that are in your book.
I'd be happy to do that, Sherry. Just let me know when you want me.
Well, we're almost out of time. What one thing would you want people to take from your book that would help them in being responsible for their own health?
Well, just to know that they can be responsible for their own health, and that this technology, this 21st century homeopathic technology, is available for them to do that. And I would urge them, again, to just to call up and find out more about it. You could do that simply by calling 866. That's a toll-free number, of course.
Mm-hmm.
866-289-6992, and tell them Alan Stang suggested you call. You heard me on the Shari show, and ask for more information.
Well, we certainly need more information like you have in your book. It's well-researched toward homeopathy, and we probably need another whole options section about, you know, what they can do to get this word out to other people, not just using it for their own family. And you're talking specifically about cancers, but they can have cancer from toxins, from hormones, from their Krebs cycle, from their genetics, from inability to use tryptophan, from parasites. So we need to provide more and more information like you've created here. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Sherry.
We need to put together a panel and just get this information to people, because it's just incredible pieces of information for people in self-health, and that's where it's got to go. People need to start taking responsibility for their own health and awakening, and it's information and people like Dr. Strand and what we're doing here at our research center that's going to make that all happen. Get in touch with us at soundhealth@soundhealth.org. This is Sherry Edwards. Until next time.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.